ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And it's a good day to be a Roughneck Odor fan. That's what I'm saying. This is... Baseball season started, man. We're in the shit. We are fully in the shit. I mean... It feels so weird to have, like, I know we had the 60 games last year. It felt different. I think we all admitted it felt different. But, like, I feel I have appointment television every day again.
It's great. Life structure is back. And it was weird heading out of opening day. It was, like, the first time in a while that I'd been to a game and didn't really care as much about the result because I'm like, oh, we got 161 more. Whereas last year, you lose game one. You're like, fuck, there's only 59 more.
Yeah, which, you know, was a little exciting, but, I mean, you went to opening day. I did not go to opening day. When it came down to it, I was a bitch. I did not pull the trigger. I had some other stuff going on where it would have been, I would have had to leave that game early. And so that would have been worse.
That ruined it, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been worse. That's what it came down to. I started doing the math. And due to another obligation, I would have had to leave the game early. And
okay.
Also, losing that game, I mean, I would have probably just took the car right into the median.
It was brutal. The seventh inning at bat where Judge came up, bases loaded, one out. And let me tell you something. The 10,000 people that were there, we were making noise. Like, it felt like 30,000 or so. But when he hit into that double play, it was like the air was just let out of the building. Absolutely brutal. All you need is a sack fly. Blue pit, even a strikeout would have been better, and he hits into two outs. I mean, that was awful. And then the ninth inning sucked as well. I think they were maybe 0-13 with runners in scoring position. It was definitely tough to sit through baseball wise.
So can you give us like an idea, like what was it like for like as a fan just going? You know, there was a lot of like skepticism. What's it going to be like getting in the stadium? How easy is it going to be? How hard is it going to be? What's it like, you know, at the bars? Like, can you take us through what that day is like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I could start with the night before. I probably slept for a total of maybe 2 or 3 hours. I mean, I didn't really sleep at all. We got a 7 a.m. Amtrak. We went up there. We went to a nice little diner by Penn Station called Johnny's Luncheonette. Had a nice little breakfast. Probably got to Billy's maybe 10:15.
Did you sit down in a diner to eat?
We sat down in a diner.
Is that your first time indoor dining since this whole thing stopped?
Other than Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But basically, it felt like, I mean, yeah, first time in 3 months. It was weird walking into Billy's and seeing only tables and seeing nobody, like, standing up and milling around. Like, that was a little bit surreal.
It looked kind of classy. It looked like a nice cocktail hour.
It was almost too organized. And the security getting in was very legit. So they did a temperature check at Billy's on the wrist. And then after you hand them your ID, they make you hold out your hands and they literally spray you with sanitizer before you can walk in. And then you go and get seated.
So wait, I've never heard of a wrist temperature.
Yeah, the Yankee Stadium people and the Billy's people took it on the wrist, the temperature, yeah.
Huh, I wonder how, like, on edge that put people because, you know, you're wearing long sleeves. Like, I think when you get to that...
Man, I was a little worried. I run hot.
You get to that point and you're just like, if this goes wrong, I am fucked. You know, like...
I hear from Philly and my temperature is going to be 99.4, whatever their limit is. But yeah, hung out in Billy's maybe till about 11:30. Then we headed to the gate, and I really thought they were going to be really serious about checking the COVID test. Like, they said they were going to check to make sure the ID matches up with the COVID test, but they barely glanced at my negative test on the phone. Like, they weren't checking that
hard. And so one thing I will say is that while you were in Billy's, you tweeted a picture of Billy's. At the end of our regular Yankee baseball talk, I am going to tell you why that picture set my world on fire for the entire day. In one of, I think it's the wildest thing that ever happened to me. It's not the dog. It's wilder than that. I've only told this story publicly one other time, and 1,000 people paid $12 to hear it. And I'm going to tell that for free at the end of this story. It sounds like an infomercial, but I'm not going to, you know, derail baseball talk until the end. But it's worth it. Stick around.
I'm so, mentally blocking off 10 minutes for the end.
You may need more. So, so getting into the stadium, breeze.
Breeze.
Did you see
right
anyone who got to that point and they were like, no, 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 or anyone complaining outside?
No issues really. So one funny thing is we brought a couple fireball shooters and we're getting ready to go in. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take mine. Like, Jamie, you want to take yours? And she's like, no, there's cops everywhere. I'm like, Jamie, they're looking for bombs and terrorists. They're not looking for us taking fireball shooters. And she didn't want to take it. I just took it right in front of them. I'm like, Jamie, they're not looking for this. I promise you. But
the
only
thing, they get mad if you didn't have an extra one. Like, that's it. I got to shift the rest of the day here.
Everyone was really spaced out. But you basically had a whole row to yourself if you think about it. It's basically four people per row of like 20 people. You know, you have two people in like seats one and two, and then maybe two more people in seats like 17 and 18 in a row, something like that. So plenty of room. Maybe every other concession was open. Maybe every other bathroom was open, but I mean, it was kind of nice being able to spread out and get comfortable where you're used to really being kind of cramped in there.
Was moving about the stadium like pretty easy? I mean, it looks like based on what I've seen, people just walking around. I was worried there was going to be, you know, if you're in section 205, you have no reason to be by the left field foul pole kind of thing.
Yeah, it was really easy to move around. Some areas were blocked off, actually. So if an area was blocked off and you needed to get through, you just grab like a security guard and they would let you through.
Okay.
But it seemed like they really had their shit together in terms of the spacing and the concessions. I was worried that there'd only be like one concession open per level and there'd be a long line for it type of thing, but they had enough open. And yeah, the stadium, everything went really smoothly. It's just the game itself that sucked.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal to lose an extra innings. It's, I mean, you know about it, but you kind of forget about it until you get slapped in the face with a runner on second, day one. And you just look at, like, there's no universal DH, and this is the shit we're dealing with.
It was brutal. And there's a moment for us because we travel for these games where it was, you know, it's bottom of the ninth, Judge is up, winning runs on third. And it's like, if he gets a base hit, I'm going to have a great train ride home and I'm going to have a great night. And if he strikes out, I'm going to have a miserable train ride home and a miserable night. And just knowing that the rest of your night hangs in the balance of one at bat, it makes it even more stressful than normally watching a game.
And it's tough when that one at bat is Aaron Judge's in the ninth inning.
Yeah, whiffing hard. I mean, they all suck.
Yeah.
And I feel like all of these Yankee losses are the same. They get a million guys on, they hit, you know, a solo homer or two, and they just need one hit with runners in scoring position, and instead of getting one, they get zero. Like, it felt like an extension of the ALDS almost.
Yeah, well, it's that just lost feeling of just there's nothing, like no good is going to come of this. And, you know, I was trying, you know, I'm watching him trying to be positive, and it was just like, once DJ didn't get it done, I was like, this doesn't feel great. But then you're hopeful for a new season, a new Aaron, and, you know, who has no career walk-offs. You know, we're just, you know, kind of hoping for the best. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough, an opening day loss is always tough. An opening day loss when you don't have Amtrak tickets home is tough.
Yes.
That, you know, so, I mean, you know, we mix it in normally at the end, but you got your Shamrock Shake thanks to that stopover in Trenton.
In the most unlucky way ever. So we get back to Trenton, and Jamie's just starving. You know, she's like, we got to eat. And I'm like, well, there's one restaurant here, and it's the Trenton Transit Center McDonald's. So we go in, and obviously it's April 1st, so technically Shamrock season's over. So my expectations are lower than low. But just for shits, I'm like, do you guys have Shamrock Shakes? And he's like, oh, yeah, we got them. They brought it right out and had it there. And honestly, that was probably the only thing that could really salvage the day. at that point. But yeah, I had a McDouble, fries, and a Shamrock Shake. Really, I mean, talk about getting it in like the bottom of the 12th inning. Like, it really couldn't have gotten any closer in terms of getting the Shamrock Shake in season.
You really treat this April 1st like McDonald's is like, we just can't. We couldn't do it again. I don't think that's a hard rule.
I've been burned too many times. And, dude, half the time they don't even have it in season. So my expectations when you get to April are even lower. I was shocked.
Yeah. So, I mean, tough opening day. I'm kind of glad I wasn't there.
Nah, I don't blame you. And it was tough overall, but one bright spot, you know, from the first two games was Gary Sanchez. And this is a guy that we know needed to get off to a hot start, probably the most maligned position player last year. He hits a two-run homer opening day, and then he homers game two. Really, really good to see to get two bombs kind of right off the bat from Gary.
He got the two bombs. He threw a guy out because, you know, when he first came up, it was all, you know, it was the bat, but like his arm. And I feel like, you know, he dealt with arm problems and maybe his arm wasn't, you know, it hasn't been what it once was. But he also has a lot of other shit going on that, you know, maybe he's getting back into his own groove. Now, he's got two home runs. He's batting 200. To a certain extent, though, if he hits 81 home runs and bats 200, I'm okay with that.
Exactly. And I think we're both on the record saying that we'd be fine if he hits 230 with 35 bombs, you know, out of the 7-hole or the 8-hole. To me, that's fine.
Yeah. For a catcher, because that's the thing. You have to keep it relative. Like, for a catcher, yeah, that's, you know, that's more than doable. And so, it, you know, it looks like he, you know, he's maybe back. It's still early in the season. The same way, like, you can't say he's back if at any point you say that, you know, Aaron Hicks' career is, you know, isn't over. You know, it's the same thing. So you got to give him like you got to give him some time. But I like what I see. It's interesting because we're recording this before the game on Tuesday that he's not catching Cole. And I get it. He's caught every game. You got to give a guy, you know, guy needs a day off. But I don't think it's a coincidence of when the day off is.
See, I think people are reading too much into it. I mean, there's been four games. I don't think he was going to catch the first five games regardless. You know, he caught the first four. I just think it makes sense. If you're going to give him a day, let Higgy catch Cole. And look, if Cole throws seven shutout tonight, you know there's going to be some chirping.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like, oh, Gary can never catch Cole. But if he was going to, you know, miss a start, it was going to be that one.
It opens up the conversation for sure. And that we kind of expected. One thing I don't think anybody expected. Why the fuck is Brett Gardner batting third tonight? You have a lineup.
He bats left.
Carlos. Oh, you have Stanton. You have Torres. You have Urshela. You have Clint. And you're batting 38-year-old Brett Gardner in the three hole. Mind boggling.
I mean, listen, I'm a lefty. I could be in there before Clint Frazier, too.
You probably would. I think you would.
I saw someone tweet what I thought was very funny, that I hope one day to hate someone as much as the Yankees hate Clint Frazier. You know, just I need that visceral hatred that they clearly have for him. And, I mean, I don't know how many other teams are batting their 37-year-old fourth outfielder third, like the first opportunity in. You know, he was not with a contract into spring training for a reason. Now, he's obviously going to go deep tonight. I think every Yankee fan knows he's going to go deep. But
318-foot porch job.
Which, like, I'll take. But it might be, like, 1-for-5 with that home run.
Yeah, and I think this is the reason that so many Yankee fans didn't want Gardy back. Like, I think there were a lot of Yankee fans that are like, you know, it's fine to have him back as a reserve outfielder, hit ninth twice a week. But I think the reason some people didn't want him back is nobody wants to see him hitting third ever. And they have this weird thing with the lefties, and it's gotten to be obsessive at this point. They do it with Hicks. They're doing it with Gardner now. It's just the way it is. But, man, it is really stupid. And I tweeted the other day that batting Hicks between Judge and Stanton is like giving the opposing pitcher a chaser between two shots of Everclear. Like, you are giving the pitcher a break when you put a guy like that between Judge and Stanton.
Have you ever done two shots of Everclear back-to-back?
No, but I've watched people do water appreciation.
I don't know what that is. I'm just saying the way you said two shots of Everclear, it sounded like a place of experience. What is water appreciation?
Water appreciation is if you, now, there's 100, you know, 1 ounce clear liquid, you know, 1 ounce shots.
Okay.
33 of them are water. 33 of them are vodka. 33 of them are Everclear. And basically a group of 15 guys, generally a pledge class. I think this is somebody, 15, 20 guys. They have to finish all 100 of them and you don't know what you're going to get. So they all look the same. And then you basically get to watch the reactions. It's pretty fun, actually. Fun to watch.
I mean, that's like on per. I think we've all, you know, anyone who partied in college or, you know, after college has woken up on a coffee table and woken up on a couch, grabbed a bottle of water, and it's not water.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm thinking there. So this is what you used to make your pledges do this? Is this what you're telling us?
Yeah.
We used to make ours drink out of a metal pot that was Beast Ice. And that's just the worst.
Wait, what is Beast Ice?
Milwaukee's Best Ice.
Oh, God.
It's like drinking glass. And then you put it in a pot that probably, like, we probably made pasta in the night before and didn't wash.
Of course.
Yeah, that's one. There are a bunch of things that we did. But, yeah, that was definitely one of them. Here's my question. And I get it. Brett Gardner's the, you know, he's a veteran, yada, yada, yada. If Mike Tauchman and his control was so important, why isn't he getting the spot? You know?
Good question. And, you know, a lot of people like his defensive metrics. A lot of the nerds say he's a better defender than Gardy anyway. So that would, you know, he could play center field. I guess tonight's Hicks night off. And look, they're just going to give everybody rest days. Like, nobody is playing 150 games for this team. Like,
maybe Glaber. Glaber might. Glaber seems like
they pulled Glaber in the eighth yesterday to get him off his feet. The man's 24 years old. It's a joke.
Got
to
get him off his feet. The weird thing about all our, like, bad excuses like that is I haven't seen anything that says, like, in the NBA, they track their footsteps, like how many steps they take. So when they look at, like, LeBron James, like, in a season, they know how many steps he has taken. And so if he's pacing above, like, what he should be, then they find those extra things. I'd be so curious about, like, the baseball ones, like, what those metrics would be if they did it. Because one would be dramatically less than, like, a basketball player. And I think it would just show how foolish, like, some of this is. And I get it if you got a veteran player or, like, a star. But when you're talking about a 24-year-old, I don't think he needs to get off his feet.
Dude, I've actually thought about this, and I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it, because, like, Boone will play Aaron Judge on the last Sunday of the season when everything's clinched up, you know, on turf in a completely meaningless game, and then he will sit him on, like, a Friday night game against the Astros. Like, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for when they give the guys – dude, they rested Stanton the third day.
Well, where was Stanton supposed to play?
DH.
So Judge should have been playing right field.
Ah, you set me up.
Like, that's the thing. Judge needs his half days. And that's why, I mean, it is tough to say that Giancarlo Stanton is a 31-year-old who can only DH. He can't give us 20 games in the outfield. That's why, I mean, I get it. You're trying to get everyone to the regular season healthy. But you should have given him a game. You should have given him maybe like three half games in the outfield. Because in spring training... Because then you could have, once a week, have him out there, and you get your 20, 25 games where he could stay in the lineup and Judge gets a half day or Sanchez gets a half day or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I try and pride myself on, you know, admitting when I'm wrong and being able to, you know, admit that. And you were definitely right. Now that I've kind of had a couple of weeks to think about it, it does make more sense, I think, to alternate Judge and Stanton with right field and DH. And we talked about it at the end with having A-Rod, when you have a guy that's just a full-time DH and is eliminated from playing the field, you lose a lot of your flexibility within a lineup.
A ton of flexibility. And then you end up in positions where, I mean, in one, like, fail swoop in game one, we had no bench. Like, that's it. We had, if someone got hurt, we would have a pitcher playing a position.
Yeah, we're very close to that. And part of the reason is we just stack outfielders on our roster. I mean, what are we at? We have six outfielders and one backup middle infielder. So the roster's kind of unbalanced as it is. And then when you throw in Stanton, it's even more unbalanced. But maybe they're solving this a little bit with the Odor trade today.
Yeah, so they actually, as we're recording this, they just announced Mike King has been sent to the alternate site. You give us six shutouts, we give you a bus ticket.
That's your reward.
That's a shuttle. That was coming, that's though. A shuttle life
for a week.
Yeah. I mean, kind of just back to the Yankees we already had. Judge is struggling. I mean, Hicks is struggling. Oh, there's a lot of guys struggling right now. But I was on earlier today, I was on ESPN Syracuse, and they asked me about that. You know, are you worried? I said, I'm about as worried as a 23-year-old should be looking at their 401k. It's a lot of season. There's a lot of time before any of this matters. And, you know, if you go nuts about it, you're like, well, you know, when they announced the Odor trade is possibly happening, everyone jumps to, oh, well, Jay Bruce is gone. Then you move DJ over, and now you've got Odor, who statistically lately, you know, that's a worse, like, that would be a downgrade. And that's just going off of, well, Bruce only has two hits in four games. He's batting under 200, but he's getting on base at almost a 400 clip. He's drawing walks, which is like a veteran move. So, you know, I don't think things are as bad as everyone makes them out to be for this 2-2 team with 158 games left.
It's not as bad, but I also hate when people are like, oh, it's April, it doesn't matter. Like, people will act like, oh, the games in September count twice as much. Like, every game counts the same. And when you have two really winnable games that they had Thursday and Sunday, and you go 0-2, like, that's frustrating. Like, they could easily be 4-0, and we're sitting 2-2.
So I totally get being frustrated. You know, I you want to win every game. I agree with you. Opening day matters as much as September 15th. They're all one game. And when you look at, like, opening day, you get, to a certain extent in our heads, you're getting 30-something guaranteed wins when Cole's pitching. And you wasted one, right? Yes. But the idea that, like, the world is falling apart and we need to trade all these guys and, you know, we need to make big moves. Boone's got to go off of these four games. Like, this is not the time to be changing managers. Water finds its level.
That's dumb.
Yeah, we're getting a Blue Jays team who came on the road, and guess what? That is the end of normalcy for them. That's it. They went on their first road trip. Now you've got to go to Dundian. I always say it wrong. Whatever.
Dunedin, it's, yeah.
Dunedin. Yeah. I always, forever, I'm Dundinan. They have to go there. They may have to go to Buffalo. The goal is to get back to Toronto. They have three homes this year. They're a young team, and yeah, they were really good last year in a 60-game season. Guess what? We're not playing a college season this year. We're playing a Major League Baseball season, and it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough for them.
I do think it's going to be tough for them. I think the frustration more, too, is that it feels like we get off to a poor start every year. Like, I really can't remember the last time that we started, I don't know, 5-1 or 6-2. I feel like, I mean, I remember 2019, they started 6-9 and they battled all the way back. But for one year, I would just be nice to get off to like a 7-2 or, I don't know, a 6-3 start and kind of start in the driver's seat as opposed to always going from behind the eight ball.
We could still get to all the things that you just said.
We could. We could get to 7-2.
I mean, we're playing the Blue Jays. That makes you feel right. That's your get right series. I mean, the Orioles, you know, and then we're going to Tampa and it's going to be a fight. But let's go down there and fight. And then we play the Blue Jays again right away. So, like, let's get angry.
Got to sweep the Orioles. I mean, you got to sweep these Orioles home series. Like, there can't be any 2 out of 3. Like, if they're going to give us these free wins, if the Orioles are going to tank and we get to play them 19 times a year, you got to take advantage. Like, to me, it's sweep or bust with them.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take the games that – win the games you're supposed to win. And I've said for forever, I mean, we lost that first series. Like, yes, I'd like the sweep, but if we don't sweep the Orioles, I'm okay with it. As long as we just win every series the whole year. You know? Win series, you win pennants, you win World Series. I've been saying it for forever. And, you know, with the Odor trade, everyone was just totally overreacting. Just like, oh my God, what's it? We gave away a bag of fucking baseballs. No one knows
literally
who the hell we gave away. No one cares. We're paying $0. So technically, our luxury tax, we just went down because we're paying $0. Mike King makes the major league minimum, and now he does not count for the whole season against the luxury tax. It only counts when you're there. So he's not on the 25-man. Our luxury tax threshold, we just, you know, created space.
Some of these trades that Cashman makes with some of these small market teams, I'm like, how the hell did they agree to it? Like, we're not paying a dime. How is that possible?
Well, I think when it comes down to it, the Rangers were going to get nothing, right? If this went like another day or whatever, he's just a free agent, he could sign anyway, and they still have to pay his entire contract. Versus, and I'm sure other teams were, you know, in play. You know, I'm sure other people made other offers, but I don't know how many people, you know, were really looking to bring in a guy who struggled, who need another backup, you know, middle infielder. And there were all these people who were just like, but we have Dietrich. You're talking about guys that aren't in the major leagues. We have another guy who's not in the major leagues. So if Odor comes in here, and I'm sure he's got to get, you know, some reps. Who knows what he's been doing in the last week. And if he's here for a week and he stinks, we made a guy shave. So what? That's fun for me. We made a guy shave his face.
Yeah, no, works for me. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. And I got a text while we were recording that said Estrada was DFA'd. So I think King is getting sent down for another pitcher, and I think Estrada is going to be the move for Odor. So Odor might start at the alternate site. To be honest, I have no idea what the hell they're going to do.
Estrada's off the 40-man.
Okay.
Odor gets that spot on the 40-man. King is off the 25. Odor gets that spot on the 25. So King stays on the 40-man.
So do we know if Odor is going to the show or if he's going to the show. Okay.
He's a Major League Baseball player. He has to. Like, he doesn't have options.
Got it. But okay. So yeah, the whole alternate site, 40-man, 25-man, it's, you know, always takes me a few minutes.
And like, you know, Wade still has an option. Like, we could still send Wade down.
Please. Speaking of Wade, what is with this thing in the seventh or eighth inning when they're leading where they move DJ to first, they pull Bruce, and they put Wade at second? Like, you are not getting better defensively. If you want to make a defensive substitution, just put Wade at short and take Glaber out if you want to get better. Like, moving DJ to first, I don't get it.
I mean, DJ is a good fielder. He's, I think, much better at second base than, you know, anyone else that we have. But he's an upgrade over Bruce. I mean, why doesn't Wade just play first base? Like, if you could, I'm saying defensively. Like, if you could play shortstop at the major league level, you can play first base. The same way I said, if we were able to get Lindor, Glaber can learn to play the outfield. Because you can play shortstop at the major league level. You can play any other position on the field.
You can, but when I look around at the infield, defensively, Glaber's the weak link. I think he's got at least two errors already through four games. I don't know if he has three. I know he has at least two. Whether it's range, whether it's making bad throws, like, he's been terrible. And me and you have both been on the train of, we don't want to sign a big shortstop next offseason. Like, Glaber's the guy. But if he makes 30 errors this year, you know we're going to be having those conversations.
Oh, I'll have that at 10 errors. What, are you kidding me? I'll have that conversation. I was ready to put him in the outfield like minutes ago. I'll still trade the shit out of Judge. But I mean, we saw in spring training, like, he made a lot of progress over the offseason. You know, he came in shape, and who knows, maybe it's early season, you know, yips, you know, your first time in front of fans. I'll give you a little bit. It's four games into the season. I know you can't win a World Series in April, but you can lose one. But I don't think at 2-2, you're in a position to lose it. I did see someone tweet about something like, someone said something like, oh, the Royals could be a shocking team. And I saw like a Royals blog. I don't know how it ended up my thing. They were like, four games in the season, people are already talking about the Royals being in a possible playoff contention. If your team is not in playoff contention four games into the season, stop supporting that team.
You got big problems. I'm surprised there's even that you stumbled across a Royals blog on Twitter. I feel like that'd be pretty hard to stumble across if you weren't seeking it out.
No, someone like tweeted it. Alex Fuse tweeted it. He's a young up and coming sports journalist.
Got it. Yeah, I know.
He's like a kid in college. I went on his podcast when he was like 15 years old. He had his own podcast. He'd show up in a suit and tie every time to do it. He got big guests. He got like everybody at ESPN. And now he's in college, like in broadcast school doing it. It's a guy like, you know, just a guy I'm cheering for who, you know, asked me if I would come on his podcast forever ago and does it the right way.
And you always say yes.
Yeah, pretty much. I did a podcast yesterday about dogs for like an hour and a half. They were like, this is a two-parter. So, yeah, I mean, the Odor thing, you know, everyone's like, well, if you look at his numbers the past like 4 years, I don't give a shit. I don't care what his numbers were. He's a lefty playing in Yankee Stadium who has hit 30 home runs three times, and he's not Tyler Wade. I'm willing to give him a shot. I'm willing to give him a shot, and we lose absolutely nothing if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, totally. It's a lottery ticket. And he punched Jose Bautista in the face, who we hate.
Dude, poor Jose Bautista. I feel bad for him. He is just sitting in the Dominican Republic somewhere, just like living his life. And now he's trending on Twitter because he got punched 5 years ago. And not because it's like, oh, it's the anniversary of it. It's because the guy who punched him was so bad at baseball recently that he got cut being owed $27 million and got picked up for two bags of crap that we sent from wherever the hell our minor league teams are now.
Dude, the Rangers had the picture of him punching Bautista in their like farewell tweet. Like that was in the montage. That was hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's what he's known for. I mean, what else is he known for? I know what else he's known for. When he signed this contract that he's in, it was 6 years, whatever, you know, where it's backloaded. So it was like $47 million or something like that, and now it's all due. He also got two horses.
I do remember that.
He had two horses in his contract. He's a Venezuelan farmer. He's got like four horses down there. He's got like a farm that like one of his friends like runs. And when anyone asks about it, they're like, yeah, no, he's on the horses every day in the off season. Like he's a farmer. He loves this.
Him and Cespedes.
Yeah, which is not a great, like, that's
not who we want him hanging around.
But at the same time, for nothing, I don't care. Get thrown off a horse and break your leg. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, nothing to lose with that. I still want them to acquire somebody that could play short. But this is a step. It's a step. It's something. We've been begging for a middle infielder. We kind of got one. Still rather it be a shortstop, but it's something.
What if we give Odor a little bit, you know, of a chance? He plays decently. And then we flip him for someone who could play shortstop. Like he could be someone's starting second baseman, and we get someone's backup shortstop. You know,
like a Cashman move.
Yeah, it's all just pieces. That's all it is. We're just playing. We're playing poker, but we're able to have extra cards that we like move around, or you know, go fit. Or, I don't know, whatever game where you trade cards in and get more. Like, that's all it is to me. It's just options. That's all we did today. We took two guys who were never gonna play in the major leagues for the Yankees. You just got to assume you're never gonna play in the major leagues if you're still in A ball. And yes, now we have a guy who's going to put on pinstripes this week. That's an upgrade.
It is. And we're all about the 2021 Yankees, not the 2022 Yankees.
These have been like the 2028 Yankees. Yeah, I mean,
If
we have Odor for a week and he gets no hits, guess what? We were still getting no hits out of those other guys too.
Yeah, right where we were. And I want to talk about tonight a little bit. Cole makes the start tonight against Baltimore. About as big of a layup as you can get, right? Cole going at home against the Orioles. Opening day, he went 5.1 innings. I think he had the 8 strikeouts, but he let up 2 runs. There was a lot of chatter that, you know, didn't have his A stuff. I thought he pitched well enough to win the game, but, you know, he didn't get the win. He really needs to go out, I think, tonight and then, you know, 7 innings, 1 run.
Well, I think we gave him the put the team on your back lineup tonight, too.
Yeah.
You know, hey, great. Like, the opening day was nice. No bunting, though. They don't give a shit about you guys. They didn't make it nice for you at all. But, yeah, this is just like, hey, here's the lineup. We need a win, so if you could just go make that happen by yourself. I'm surprised we even have a DH. We didn't just make him hit. But I mean, we have We have a 5-run-a-game lineup. Easy. Easy. So just go do that, and we're going to win.
You would think. Really hard. I mean, I bet the Yankees pretty heavily with a couple of units on the money line tonight, just because I can't see a scenario where Cole loses to the Orioles at home. I can't, you know, compute that in my head.
That would be wild. Yeah, I should probably bet on them.
Right? Like, what scenario can you see? But yeah, you know, there were people, you know, kind of complaining about the start on opening day. He didn't even make it 6 innings. You know, they ran up a lot of deep counts. He did get to 97 pitches, so you'd think pretty much a full tank tonight, up to 105.
Yeah.
Maybe 108.
I mean, it's early in the season. It's the same thing like booing Stanton because he's 0 for 10. So, like, what? I mean, go nuts. Boo whoever you want. I don't really give a shit. But water's going to find its level. It does. So, you know, and it's not like Cole went out there and gave up. Like, so he gave up 2 runs. We should have scored 3. Like that.
At least, man.
You know, we had all the opportunity in the world to do it. He did what he had to do to get us a win. He put us in a position to win. Technically not a quality start, but that's kind of a weird, you know, thing. But like, we were in a position to win that game.
No, we definitely were. But yeah, and then so he'll go tonight. Tyone will make his debut on Wednesday. Really excited to kind of see what he has. It's his first start, I think, since early 19, maybe May of 2019. And then it's off to the Rays. It's off to Tampa. And some of that bad blood is going to be renewed. That's going to be, I think, pretty electric, the Tampa series.
I think Yankee fans don't want the Yankees to win baseball games. I think they just want us to like prize fight every other team. Like all the chatter with like Odor, it was just like, oh, well, that's for the Astros series. That's for the Rays series. Like, we're not here to fight. The best case scenario is that no one throws a baseball at each other like this whole season. Injuries don't work out for us. I don't want us to lose someone because we start throwing at people's heads.
I don't, but fuck the Rays, man. I do kind of want to throw at them. I still have a sour taste in my mouth from last year and Kevin Cash and all that. And the Yankees clearly haven't forgotten.
Well, why don't we just beat them? That would hurt more.
Well, yeah, that would hurt more.
That
would be ideal.
Like, instead of us losing Chapman for a couple of games and having bragging rights, why don't we win the division?
It would be good, and especially beating them at the Trop, where it seems like we're 0 for our last fucking 50. We never win down there. It would be a huge statement, I think, to go down there, even if it's just taking 2 out of 3
yeah.
and winning a series against them, shutting them up for a few games. Because, look, right now they have the right to brag. They got to Game 6 of the World Series, and they kicked our ass all year last year.
Yeah, and both of their fans have every right to talk all the shit that they want. But, yeah, I mean, that's my whole thing, is, like, people are still talking about, and I get it, especially in the division. Like, you see in California, they're banging trash cans. They're throwing trash cans on the field. I think throwing the trash cans on the field is stupid. There was a blow-up trash can. It's like, that's like a beach ball that happens. Throwing a physical trash can on the field is stupid and reckless. It delays the game. It's a bad example for kids. In the division, yeah, sure. You know, because you already had a rivalry. But Yankee fans who are like, the Astros series for Odor to beat them up, or like, I can't wait to go to that like Tuesday game to boo them. There's like 3 guys who are on that team that were around, you know, in 2017. So like, I don't care about the Astros. They're just another mediocre team that we have to beat on the way to the World Series. And probably not even in the playoffs. You can hate them all you want. But I just think it's an overreaction. I think you just want to fight people, Nick. I think you just want to see our guys fight. And we don't have Tyler Ross.
Maybe I do.
I'm telling you, like, Chapman's going to break his hand on someone. That's my fear. Or he'll go to jail. Chapman will just murder someone.
Yeah. He doesn't give a fuck.
I know this is kind of your favorite kind of topic when it gets a little political.
Yeah, okay.
The All-Star Game's moving to Denver. Here's why this stinks. My little sister lives in Denver, and she's moving in June. I would have gone. Like, because her husband, you know, he ends up going to games and stuff. He's not a Rockies fan, but he knows enough people who, you know, when you live in a city without a good team, you get offered tickets all the time. So I probably could have gotten tickets and all this stuff, and you know, not that I would have even stayed with them, but it's just like, ah, it's not the same to try to go. I could use it as an excuse. But, yeah, I mean, the All-Star game is moving. I think it's a huge deal for baseball, because baseball tends to be the last to respond to social justice issues. And I think a big part of that is there is a large amount of – I think even as diverse a sport as it is, there's probably a fair amount of racism from some players. Sure. There are we hear, you know, at least like once a year something – it's normally out of Boston, but we hear about players being called things. Yeah. Zach Hample was – tweeting on opening day that they were yelling about green cards in the outfield, and then the Bleacher Creatures went and found them and were like, we are, but it's cool because we're Dominican too, so we could do that. It's like, I mean, Zach, I don't know why you're even putting yourself in that, but I'd stay away from that one. So I think it's important because the NFL has moved the Super Bowl over stuff before. The NBA has moved an All-Star game over this stuff before. The WNBA has had stuff, and voting rights are very important. And there were people who were like, oh, if you look at it, Colorado's got – no, they don't. Look at the actual facts. They mail everyone a ballot. We want more people to be voting. More people voting is better. So I applaud Major League Baseball for making this decision, and I think it puts an important thing that we're learning, and I think it really started in the NBA because, like, Colin Kaepernick kneeled and he lost a job. The NBA, when they say something, the league responds, and I think athletes are recognizing their power and going to use it for good. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're just trying to get more people to vote. Nick hates talking about this stuff. Not because he disagrees. It's just an uncomfortable thing. So I don't know, Nick, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I did agree with it for sure. Obviously, I'm not for voter suppression. So, I was definitely cool with moving it to Denver. To be honest, the one thing I'm excited about, and to steer it back away from political, is the home run derby in the altitude is going to be fucking awesome. That was my first thought when it was moved. And then I was also thinking, you know, I was thinking just from where we live, you know, Philly, Citizens Bank Park is a nice park.
I thought there was
never
a chance.
Had an All-Star game. You know, I was like, ooh, like, I thought that'd be cool if it was here. That was honestly my first thought.
All right, so you know when if you know a girl and she says like, "Oh, I'm going to get a facial." And she means like, you know, whatever, you like an actual facial, like a beauty thing. The 13-year-old boy in you is just like, like, you know, that happens every time. In 1998, the All-Star game was at Coors Field. They had the home run derby and they did a whole thing about why before the home run derby, why the balls go further, the elevation, whatever. And I'm a 13-year-old boy at the time, and they just kept talking about it. It's a scientific term. I don't think they're going to use it this year to explain anything. It's the retard effect. Because the actual word of, like, the definition of retard is, like, to slow down or something. So it's, like, the effect on the ball with the elevation and gravity of the wind and all that stuff. And being a 13-year-old who, you know, still probably said that word all the time was like, oh, you know, oh, my God. So it's going to be interesting how they approach that. That was the first thing I thought of.
And it is such a polar opposite. Like, when I think of Colorado, I think of the most – probably what? Maybe the most progressive state. They were the first ones to legalize pot. And, you know, obviously what you said with the voting and the mail, like, they are very progressive. So I definitely do think MLB was trying to send a message. I just selfishly was like, oh, man, Philly would be good.
I was – the only reason that I'm anti-Colorado getting it is because I think you're rewarding a team that is just not trying to win.
Yes.
You know,
for sure.
Trevor Story is going to leave. Arenado, you just traded away. So
they
it
let
does
DJ
kind of
walk.
Reward, yeah, it does reward kind of bad behavior, where I think a team like the Phillies, kind of up and coming, and you know, again, it also has to do with, you know, populations and where we think COVID will be. Philadelphia is probably much more populated.
Yeah.
They've been a little more conservative with opening up. So there were all those things to factor in as well. But I was in the same boat. I was like, all right, we, you know, Philly would be nice. Or even, you know, if it could be in the state, you know, Pittsburgh is obviously a beautiful ballpark.
Yes, that would have been cool too. And I was thinking, you know, Harper can put on a nice show for the hometown fans. They just built a brand new FanDuel sports book where the old Holiday Inn was, if you ever tailgated, yep. Like, an Eagles game or something. So I was like,
I just drank at the bar in that Holiday Inn a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, do $2 beers. South Philly trash.
Literally.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome.
But yeah, no, I think it'll be cool in Denver. It'll be cool to see the ball fly. I don't want any of our guys doing the Derby, though, after, you know, Judge did it.
I don't want any of our guys in the All-Star game. Get voted in and then have something else come up.
Especially not Cole. I don't want him burning a single bullet that doesn't count. You only get so many.
Forget even like, I don't want him taking the flight. I don't want, even if he doesn't play, I don't want him taking an extra flight.
Go to Cabo or go relax in California.
Or just sit at home. Just go home and just sit there and think. Work on stuff. I mean, I think overall, you know, a week-ish into the season, like, I still feel fine. I think we're still winning the World Series. I think our, you know, I think we've seen, you know, Herman struggled a little bit, but also he just missed a whole year. Like, we have a lot of miss a whole year guys, but he didn't show it. It's not like he got knocked around bad. You know, we've pieced together what should be a decent bullpen, a decent rotation to get us to getting these guys stretched out, adding in Seve, stretching him out. And Mike King showed us a lot of promise. Like, I don't think there, aside from guys who are professionals, who we know are going to break out of this, you know, hitting slump that they're in. Like, Aaron Hicks is a career 235 hitter. He's not a career 067 hitter, though, you know? So let's just give it a little time. It'll get there. And it's early enough in the season that we can still make moves.
Yeah, we have time. And you got to be impressed with what Montgomery did. On Monday night, the 6 shutout innings. Joe Randazzo, who used to be with Bronx Pinstripes, had a nice tweet where he talked about that was the most changeups that Montgomery has ever thrown.
Like 33% of them.
Yeah. So, and then it really worked. I mean, he seems to get better and better as he gets further and further away from Tommy John. If he can pitch like that, we're in business.
And it's a big, like, step up moment. You know, I think we're having a different conversation at 1-3.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
You know,
I'm panicking if we lose that last night to the Orioles. We're 1-3. Absolutely.
I mean, I think we won, and you're half panicking.
I was pissed that they used Chapman in the ninth. I hate the get him work thing. You only have so many bullets, man.
But he, I mean, what he threw like 20 something pitches, so he's probably not available tonight. But like, still, he's clearly still working on stuff.
Yeah, but I'd rather him be available for tonight. I know this comes out a different day. I want him available for Tuesday and Wednesday. Like, once you use him Monday, that means you only get him one more time in the series. Like, that to me, you're handicapping yourself at that point. I just don't see the logic.
Just win every game by 7 runs. Okay. Then you don't need him.
Till Tampa. Hit another grand slam, like Stanton.
You got anything else on the Yankees so I can tell you this wild-ass story?
Nah, man. To be honest, I'm ready for the story.
All right. So you lit my world on fire with one picture that you tweeted out. And I'll retweet the picture. So in 2013, I started writing for Barstool Sports, right? And I think we can all agree in the Lord's year of 2021, pretty much anyone who is a content person at Barstool Sports is in some level a celebrity. They can't just go to a bar without someone knowing who they are. In 2013, 2014, not the case. But really all there was KFC and myself in New York. Clem wasn't around yet, but he'd come on soon. So there's only a couple of us. There's not all the guys in New York. So if we had an event, everyone there knows who we are because we would have like events almost every, you know, couple weeks. With that, you meet a lot of weirdos. I mean, I still meet a lot of weirdos just being at Yankee games. People come up to you and sometimes they talk to you too uncomfortably. I always compared it to being it's got to be what it's like to be a pretty girl. When you walk through the bar, they look at you. Then they have a couple drinks and maybe they'll talk to you. Then they have too many drinks and they'll touch you. And that's like kind of how it would work. So through Kevin, I met this guy, John. John was a somewhat normal guy. He started to hang out with us, came to every event. Through him, met a guy, Connor. Connor Crehan, host Zero Block 30 for Barstool. Military veteran. So they became like kind of our guys that like, hey, if we were trying to get away from like someone's talking to us too close, not that we're like, you know, superstars, people just get drunk and annoying. So we would hang out with those guys. John and Connor got to know them. They got to know my wife, you know, all of, you know, all the regular stuff. You become actual friends. I'm invited to John's wedding. John made a ton of friends throughout the, you know, Twitter world there. And so fast forward to February 17th, 2016, my birthday. I get a message from John that says, hey, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, dude, thanks. On the 19th, a Friday night, we're doing a Barstool at the Barclays event where it's Knicks Nets. You know, people could buy tickets. We go. Me, Kevin, John, and Connor are all in a group chat figuring out Connor and Kevin live in Hoboken. I'm on the Upper East Side. John lives in Jersey City. We're, you know, texting, trying to figure out where we're going to meet up. On the 18th, Connor says, hey, have you guys talked to John at all? I said, no, not since yesterday. He goes, well, his Twitter's gone. His Facebook's gone. Like, that's weird. I don't know. Like, I'm sure, who knows, glitch, whatever. So we're trying to figure out, like, kind of what's going on, but not losing much sleep. And so Connor texts John's fiance, who's in Florida on vacation with her family, and said, hey, have you heard from him? She goes, actually, I have heard from him. It turns out that John, for the last year and a half, the entire time that I've known him, has not had a job. He has been opening credit cards in my name, his fiance's name, running up tens of thousands of dollars in debt. He's been borrowing money from my family, from my friends, from their husbands, saying that his mom's house is being foreclosed on, telling my parents that his mom has cancer because my mom's beaten cancer three times. So it's like, you know, pulls on the heartstrings, borrowing all this money. And her dad had said, you need to come clean to my daughter about the money you've been borrowing us from us. Or when she gets to Florida, we're going to sit her down and tell her. And he straight faced drove his fiance to Newark Airport, like everything was normal, and then disappeared. So she says, can you guys go to my apartment and see if my car's there, see if he's there? Like, this is very weird. He's not answering me. And, like, this whole story is so crazy. Like, this girl was getting married in, like, 3 months. Connor goes and goes, knocks on the door. He brings another friend, a military friend. I'm like, dude, I'm not going. This guy might be dead. I haven't seen dead people. I can't do this. Knocks, goes to security, goes, hey, here's the thing. We're just trying to knock on the door, see if he's there. Security goes with the knock on the door. He's like, yeah, hey, John, I'm here. Nothing. No answer at all. Look outside. The car is there. Her car is there. So he's like, all right. So he literally might be dead inside this thing. Now, this is also going on and starting to blow up in Barstool Twitter at the time, because he was a key part in Barstool Twitter. Everyone knew him. He had fantasy leagues with all different Barstool fans and all this stuff. While they're waiting in the lobby for the cops to come to do a wellness check, Connor happens to walk towards, like, the front door, and the car goes speeding out of the parking lot. So this guy is now gone. This turns into, we call his phone, it's turned off. We get a message we've never gotten before. This person's not taking calls right now. Like, never heard that before. We're trying to find out, like, we're sending him messages, writing him emails, because we found out that he wrote, like, a suicide note, like, email to his fiance. We're just like, dude, from what we understand, it's like 20 grand. You can come back from this. Like, don't kill yourself, all this stuff. What I find out is that Connor also got duped into this and had lent him $1,000. That it was like, oh, I'll write you a check back. It was a whole to-do about, like, it's like the Kevin Hart bit. I got to move money from this account to that account kind of thing. Connor had just cashed a check like a week before. So out of nowhere, he gets a DM from someone we don't know, who's John's sister. Never met her. Hey, I know your friends are my brother. Our phones, like, we have a family plan that he pays. Our phones went off. I'm in college. We have no idea what's going on. Connor has to fill him in as to what's going on. Like, your brother is now a fugitive of the law right now. He ends up, like, dropping off the car, finding a way to upstate to his mom's house, coming back on Twitter for, like, 10 minutes, and everyone is like, dude, what the fuck just happened? Disappears again. goes back to the apartment to get his stuff. Like, it's a supervised thing. Comes in, has to buzz because he doesn't have keys. He had mailed the keys back with his now former fiance. They walk in the apartment, never say a word. He starts gathering stuff. Cops come and arrest him immediately. The sister reaches out to my friend Connor. Is like, hey, you know, like, we're kind of struggling with money. He said you might bail him out. Connor's like, yo, he owes me $1,000. And since he disappeared, the check just bounced. I talk to this guy maybe every day for like a year and a half, or every other day. Like, we all chatted all the time. He pled guilty to all the crimes that he did, has to pay restitution and all this stuff, has never responded. It's disappeared from Twitter, from all social media, never responded to any emails anyone sent him. No one I know has set eyes on this person until you posted that picture. And he was sitting right there in a gray hoodie. I'm talking a person who made up their entire life. At one point during this year and a half that he didn't have a job, he said, hey, a client dropped tickets off at our office for a Yankee game. Do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, they were in a suite, whatever. And he'd never give me my actual ticket. Like, he had printouts. No one drops off printouts at an office. They drop physical tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yo, I could probably get us moved up. Give me the account number from the tickets. And he would never give me like a clear shot of it, whatever. And
yeah,
then
when
we had to go into whatever club it was, he wouldn't give me my ticket. He gave someone else. I noticed his name was on it where it should be account. So like, this guy used his fiance's like Discover card that he opened in her name to buy tickets to like hang out with me. Would talk about all like bought tickets to like live shows that I did and stuff. All like got clawed back. Like, I got involved legally in this. And
man,
no one saw him until you posted that picture and I tweeted, this kind of looks like at John Frat, which was his handle. And it lit up. I'm on multiple text chains, phone calls, emails. His ex-fiance's sister is like, that's definitely him. Like, all these debates, we've all analyzed it. Dude, you took this picture out of nowhere, not thinking anything, not of a person. And it was, I half watched the beginning of opening day because like phone calls, like, because he owes people money to track this guy down. And then at the same time you were at Billy's, Keith McPherson was at Billy's. He took a video going down the stairs at Billy's and gets right to where he would have had a closer shot of this guy so I could confirm, and then the video stops. Like, between the two of you, I've looked up every – my group of friends, we've looked up every picture at Billy's that anyone posted tagging Billy's. Dude, a person who was stealing identities and was not the person that I knew at all, was my wife's favorite person of, like, all my friends. We talked about inviting him to our wedding. Totally disappeared for like 5 years, more than 5 years from my life until you posted that picture. I've sent him like 5 emails that he hasn't answered since.
Wow, it's a pretty clear shot of him that I took.
Yes.
Totally accidentally. That's the type of thing, if you said, Nick, I'll give you 10 grand if you can find this guy. I wouldn't have found him at the game. But of course, I'd stumble into it, take a random picture, and of course it's him.
And of course, it's the first opening day I don't go to in like a decade.
Right.
And I was supposed to be there with you.
Now that I'm looking at him, like, he's a pretty distinguishable guy.
Yep. Wearing Jordans. He was the biggest Jordan collector or whatever.
Yeah.
Tweeted all the time about, I bought all my groomsmen Jordans. Oh, can they wear Jordans with this color suit? Da, da, da. When this all happened, we said to his fiance, like, yo, he owes us some money. What's up with those Jordans? And she was like, I'm not on Twitter. I don't know what you're talking about. We're like, you used to tweet all the time. And she goes, none of that ever happened. We were like, when we're trying to find this guy, see if he's dead, we're like, where are his groomsmen? Turned out he had borrowed money from all of them. At the end of this, the girl goes to pawn her engagement ring to pay back like her friends and their husbands that this guy was borrowing money from. Engagement ring, totally fake.
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you don't know the chick sitting at the table with him here.
No.
At this point. Okay.
No. But like,
he's on a date. He's on a little open that, day date.
Dude, it was like the Usual Suspects. And boom, just vanished in thin air and then popped up in that picture.
Dude, that is so funny. Yeah, because there's really only like this. I'm looking at the picture I took now. There's two people, him and one other guy that you can distinguish in this picture that are like facing my phone. And this motherfucker.
Dude, it was like seeing a ghost. Dude, yeah, imagine. Man. I mean, you've known me a little longer than a year and a half. You've met my wife. You know I have a job and all stuff. But imagine you just found out tomorrow it was all fake and I'm gone. And then you do a podcast in 5 years and I'm in the background of a picture. Like, wild. Dude, you sent my whole day on a tailspin.
I feel like there's not a lot of things that could distract you from opening day, and this is maybe one of the only ones.
Yeah.
Maybe like this and one other thing.
I told this story. Now, I just did a quick like 10-minute version of it. I spent like an hour and a half with Connor like retelling this when I had my other podcast. And it was a premium episode that like 1,000 people signed up to pay for. Wild. Wild, wild, wild. I'm probably going to email him again now after this, now I've talked about it again. Dude, it's the craziest thing that ever happened. Like a person, everything you know about them being totally fake.
Yeah, that's a fucking wild story.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. Like,
yeah, and I was like, Nick is so focused. Because like a bunch of people interacted with that tweet. Probably more than like you're used to. There were like quote tweets and stuff. People responding to like my quote tweet of it. People responding to other quote tweets of it. And I was like, Nick is so locked in at this game. He's not even wondering, like, why are people interacting with this one tweet I took of Billy's?
Yeah, I guess there are 193 likes and 16 retweet comments.
It's not for the table. Yeah. It's not because the nice table's at Billy's.
Confirm this guy is John Fratton. Can you ask him for the $1,000 he owes me?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. And that makes sense that why I wasn't looking. I was so, 2 hours before first pitch. Definitely was not thinking about this.
I mean, I sent you a cryptic text where I just said, hey, kind of random, do you happen to have any other pictures of this guy? And you're like, no, what?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is he like, talking
I was
about?
Like, I'll tell you later. It's wild.
Oh, man.
I don't think I did it justice in just telling the story now. Literally everything I knew about this. We've been in my home. Like, all fake.
I feel like this is an omen that happened opening day. This could be a weird, weird year, weird season.
Let's take it. The John Frat curse lives on.
Maybe this is what we need to break our drought.
Yeah. Maybe he'll steal $1,000 from someone. Dude, you're crazy. I think that's all we got for this week, right?
Yeah, man, that was good. Good timing. It's 6:32. Cole takes the mound in 3 minutes.
If at this point you're listening and there's still more show, something catastrophic happened because we got back online.
We're fucked if there's more than 2 minutes left. Yes.
Yeah, we're in trouble. we've got our first intern audition. He's been listening in. He's been here on the call. He'll be making some clips for us on social. If you like the clips he does, retweet them, like them. This guy's vying for a job to get some college credit. And eventually, if he's the guy, we'll introduce him. Maybe he'll have a segment. Maybe we'll haze him. Maybe we'll get 100 clear shots of something. No, we won't. You can follow Nick on Twitter.
At MKirbyNYY.
You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow show at George's Box Pod. We are going to have more content coming out on Twitter. So follow it, engage with it, like it, love it. We just need more games. I need a good 30 games under my belt so we could really see where the hell this team is. 4 games, can't lose any sleep. We're still good. 500, we'll see you at the parade.